True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Downhill inside runners. It's a good compliment just like that.
Gets it again. To the edge. Kroski Merritt is in. Touchdown, Washington.
Bill killed in his first NFL game. So did the defense. One down, 16 or more to go. The next one will be here very quickly, Thursday night against the Packers in Lambeau. Good morning, 21-6, a win over a division opponent in the opener is the thing that matters the most, but it was far from perfect, but so is week one typically, as are the reactions we all have to week one NFL games. They tend to be overreactions, so I'm going to try, or at least attempt, to not get overly reactive today on the show. I have a feeling there will be some overreactions, but that's fine. I love Mondays after games this time of year because it's actually something that is real that we can talk about. But it does take a while. It does, to know what your team is, what it has, what it will be. And it evolves over the course of the season. And more often than not, you know, what it looks like early is nothing like what it looks like later. With that said, it is nice to win a game that is led by the defense. Hasn't happened that way much in recent years, but let's not, you know, mince words here in terms of if nobody saw the game and you were trying to explain it, the defense by far and away was the number one reason for the win. We'll find out whether or not it is trend or aberration. We'll find out more likely than not, you know, within the next month if the Giants are just horrendous offensively. They were missing their best offensive lineman in the game, Andrew Thomas. And Russell Wilson looks shot to me. He looks like a backup quarterback at best. But there is no doubt that the line of scrimmage was absolutely dominated by Washington defensively. The Giants could not run the football at all. You know, run defense, the number one mystery to me, the number one concern last year, and until we started to see it in regular season games this year, a concern heading in. Yes, they got bigger, they got stronger, they got a little bit more athletic in the offseason, but how that manifested itself wasn't going to be known until they started to play real games. And it still may not be known until they play real good offensive football teams. I think they will face one on Thursday night. Certainly they'll play a team on Thursday night that was better offensively than the team they faced yesterday. But I do think while it is just one game, and week one is always hard to measure, always hard to evaluate, always tends to fool us, I don't think we're going to get fooled by the fact that they are bigger, They are faster and they're more athletic defensively than they were last year. And that's not just up front. That is on the back end as well. We knew they were bigger coming in. We knew that Javon Kinlaw was one large human being. Same with Wise, you know, some height, some length, Goldman, et cetera. But last year was a year in which every time the defense went out on the field, it looked not necessarily overmatched talent-wise, but it looked overmatched at times in the trenches. It did not look that way today. I'm going to get to the numbers defensively, which were incredibly impressive. Again, the Giants are the Giants. We'll find out. Russell Wilson was a mess, I thought, yesterday. I thought he was confused. I thought he looked slow. I thought he looked very, very reactive rather than proactive, and I don't think his reactions were very good. But make no mistake, this game was a mismatch up front. It was played on the other line side of the line of scrimmage. Washington's defense versus New York's offense was a total mismatch, and it's the number one reason Washington won the game. They won it physically on defense. They won it mentally everywhere. Did you see how many times Russ looked confused by a secondary that looked like they were in something and then switched to something and then back to something else? I thought that the defense really looked, other than the penalties and the lack of a takeaway, really looked fast, quick, urgent, physical, better tackling than we saw on the back end at any point last year. Again, I'll harp on this, but the nature of opening day tends to be less than predictive about what you're going to see moving forward. And it is just one game, but man, it was an impressive debut, and you couldn't have, you know, scripted it any better defensively if you had tried. And imagine that they weren't good defensively against that offense. The fewest points they've allowed in a game since the season finale in 2023. That was the very misleading, if you recall, season finale against the Cowboys, in which Sam Howell, according to everybody that watched the game, including the head coach at the time, Ron Rivera, played as if he was Joe Montana. Again, I'm going to get to the numbers, players from the game yesterday. The other part of the story, you know, after the defense being dominant, was just how sloppy the team was, you know, across the board in a lot of spots. You know, week one tends to have that, but we didn't see that in the Philly-Dallas opener on Thursday night. Both teams were pretty sharp. There were a couple of games yesterday, including afternoon games, and then last night's game of the year, maybe, in the first Sunday night game. What a football game that was between Buffalo and Baltimore. If you didn't stay up to watch it, when we go around the NFL a little bit later on in the show, I'm going to take some time on that one, because that was epic, and maybe the first of two matchups this year between the Bills and the Ravens. But week one tends to, more often than not, be marked by sloppy play, penalties, drop balls, bad tackling, you know, disorganized in spots with respect to timeouts. And Washington checked the box on all of the week one expected, you know, sloppiness numbers. I mean, they were penalized a lot. They dropped a lot of passes. They used up their timeouts. They had an end of first half miscue that against a much better opponent would have really cost them. And I'm going to get to all of the details on all of that. But to me, yesterday was a dominant defensive performance, albeit against an offense that we don't think will be very good, and a quarterback that really does look done, in my opinion. I'm expecting Jackson Dart to be in that line much sooner than even most thought before yesterday's opener. But the defense did its part, and it was nice to see it. And I think overall, regardless of the opponent, it just looks different. It looks different physically. It looks different from a speed standpoint. It looks different from a height standpoint. They got some tall dudes up front. Wise has some height and length. You see that. And then the other part of the game was, you know, it was not a masterpiece by far. It was not what we came to expect in terms of being unstoppable on offense, although at times it was pretty good offensively. It's 1-0. It is a sweep last year against the Giants into a first win over the Giants. I looked this up during the game. Do you know that's the first time in 26 years Washington's won a third consecutive game against its division rival New York Giants? That's pretty pathetic. It sort of, you know, indicates what they were for a quarter century plus. But you got to go back to the 98-99 seasons back-to-back where they ran off three in a row, and they actually made it four in a row early in the 2000 season. Nothing other than a two-game winning streak against the Giants since then. Yesterday was their third straight win over the Giants. Really interesting and I think very optimistic debuts for the rookie running back, Bill Kroski-Merritt, for Deebo Samuel. And as far as Jaden goes, I'll break down his performance, but Jaden was Jaden. You know, not perfect yesterday, but the impact he has on a game is profound. That is for sure. All right, 1-0. Philly's 1-0. Dallas and the Giants are 0-1. The NFC had a pretty good day yesterday on opening day in terms of their matchups with the AFC. And some of the better teams or the expected better teams looked the part, including Washington's next opponent, where on Thursday night, the early point spread has risen since yesterday. The Packers are now a 3.5-point favorite at Lambeau. 8:15 kickoff Thursday night on Amazon Prime. This is a very good early test, and it could be the first of more than one this year against the Packers. There's a long way to go, but Green Bay, again, week one, but they've got talent, that is for sure, and they have talent on both sides of the ball. Defensively, with the addition of Micah Parsons, they have a chance to be very good. All right, my game take, what I liked, what I didn't like, and a lot more when we come back. We'll open up phone lines as well. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I want what you liked from the game, the good, the bad, anything else you want to add. We'll open up phone lines and we'll start to take calls about 10:35, 10:40-ish. I will get to my detailed breakdown when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team 980. We are also streaming on our Team 980 YouTube channel, so you can watch us there if you would like. Just hit the like button and hit the subscribe button when you get there. All of our NFL talk on this show on Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gonna give it to Samuel. End around. Looking for blocks. Oh. Gets him. Oh. Samuel is in! Touchdown, Commanders!
Not a bad debut for Deebo Samuel. Keep him healthy. He's going to be a major, major positive for this offense and a weapon for this offense this year. All right, the first game take of the year, the first of 17, hopefully a few more than that, like last year. Last year we had 20 of them, the most ever in a season, not counting preseason games. What I liked, what I didn't like, and several other observations from the game. If you want to start lining it up on the phones, you can do that at 301-230-0980. I want your thoughts on Washington's 21-6 season opening win over the Giants. To me, the headline was defensive-led season opening win. The other part of it would be not exactly a perfect day. Very sloppy in a lot of respects. It's week one. You take the win. You move on. You know this as an NFL fan. You cannot overreact to what you see in week one. You cannot think that anything that you see is going to be definitive, that you can make a proclamation after week one. Things change, and they change quickly in the NFL. We'll see how quickly they change for Washington. They've got a week two Thursday night game. It'll be here before we know it at Lambeau. All right, number one on the list of things that I liked is just the defense. That was a defensive-led victory, no doubt about it. They held the Giants to 3.7 yards per play. When you hold a team to 3.7 yards per play, unless you turn the ball over on offense or you give up a lot in special teams, you are going to basically shut that team down in terms of point opportunities. It is a lot of punts and not a lot of points. When you hold a team to 3.7 yards per play, they overcame a lot of penalties and still only gave up 6 points in the game. The Giants had 232 total yards. It's not the worst looking number you've ever seen, but they only had 90 yards of total offense through their first six drives of the game, which took them into the middle part of the third quarter. From that point on, they moved the football a little bit, but some of those yards were kind of garbage yards at the end with the game already determined. The Giants were just 4 for 16 on third down. They rushed for just 74 yards, and 44 of those yards came via the scramble by the quarterback, Russ Wilson, and many of those later in the game. They held New York's running backs, Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, Scataboo, the rookie from Arizona State, 15 carries, 30 yards. 2 yards a carry. We can all do that math. And by the way, the 2 yards on average that their running backs got, they had to work for them because they were getting hit quickly and physically. And it was an absolute domination at the line of scrimmage. The quarterback, Russell Wilson, I think he looks like a backup quarterback. I think that's, he's on his third team in what, 4 years, 3 years? Three years, right? Third team, 3 years. Denver, Pittsburgh, Giants. For a reason. You know, Sean Payton couldn't wait to get rid of him. The Steelers, they moved on from him. He's not, it doesn't appear to be a situation where he is going to resurrect his career in New York with the Giants. The Giants were hurting up front with the loss of Andrew Thomas. He was inactive for the game. He is, you know, very debatably their second best offensive player after Malik Nabers. But God, Washington's defensive front played the game on the other side of the line of scrimmage throughout. Wilson, 17 of 37. Hard in the NFL these days to not complete at least 50% of your passes. He was pressured all day long and pressured quickly. It didn't matter what kind of pass play it was whether it was play action, whether it was pure drop back, whether it was, you know, some attempt at a bootleg. The defense held the Giants in three first and goal situations to just 3 points. So their red zone defense was outstanding. Yeah, it was utter domination. The pass rush pressure, the coverage, the tackling was excellent. You know, I think you could count the number of missed tackles on maybe two fingers. Luvu had one, I think, on Robinson early in the game on a quick throw. It wasn't truly a missed tackle, but he had an opportunity to get him down. I think it was Robinson. The defense was ready. You know, they played fast. They played competitively. They played urgently. Tackling, hitting, just loved it. Again, there is a chance that we will look back and say, well, yeah, that's because it was the Giants. But the speed and the physical nature of the way they played is a mindset, and I think that part of it will carry over. Now, there were a lot of penalties defensively, some of them not real smart. I'll get to those when we get to the things that I did not like from the game. And there wasn't a takeaway. There was an opportunity. Will Harris, who I thought was really good in the game, had a big hit on Russell Wilson that jarred the ball loose on that drive that the Giants ended up kicking a field goal in the first half. Wilson was able to, you know, retrieve the ball. Von Miller was right in the lane of a quick bubble screen. If he had gotten his hands up, that could have been a pick. Quan Martin actually had an interception, but that was nullified by one of the many penalties on the day. But yeah, number one on this list defensively, wow. Now, again, you got to say this, and you got to say it over and over again. The Giant offense might really stink. Russell Wilson might really be a backup quarterback in the NFL. But that being said, the defense had an outstanding day, and I'm going to take the opportunity, because we didn't have it many times last year, to say that Washington won because its defense led the way. Specific players that stood out to me. I thought Daron Payne was awesome. I think I say this every year, so I've been wrong more years than I have been correct. I just am a fan of Daron Payne's talent. I'm a fan of just him in general. Why is that? I don't know. There's something about him that I'm like, God, if you could ever put it together week in and week out with consistency, you'd be one of the better players at that position in the league. He had that great contract year. We know that, you know, and got paid. And this, while it's not technically a contract year, it's a big year for him. He is still young. He is age-wise right at the beginning or in the middle part of his prime years. He was everywhere in this game. Early on, chasing down the screen to Robinson, the bubble screen on 3rd and 11. He got a sack. He had a TFL. He had his hands on at least one pass that he batted down. Daron Payne had an excellent game. I really hope it is, you know, a sign of what is to come. And it may be because of the presence of Javon Kinlaw. I thought early on in the game, even more so than Daron, what was super noticeable was Kinlaw's size and his athleticism. You know, he was a first-round pick. Javon Kinlaw, you know, Adam Peters knows the player, and obviously we thought he overpaid the player, but the player is entering his prime years like Payne, and he's got talent, and his physical stature, and I thought his athleticism and quickness, he was in the backfield a lot. He had two pressures. He had a TFL. Javon Kinlaw's presence with that size may have helped Daron Payne. They are probably helping each other. You know, the Payne-Allen combination we always desired, we hoped, we wished it would turn into something dominant. The truth is, Kinlaw and Payne, talent-wise, size, athleticism, that potential is going to be interesting, because if they play to their best ability, if they get coached and put in the right spots, this could clearly be, you know, a massive change from last year, where the interior of the D-line ends up being a strength of the football team. I thought Javon Kinlaw was really good. I thought the back end overall, look, they gave up some things, not much. The Giants didn't get much. And Malik Nabers is elite already as a route runner. And he turned Amos around, and they tried a lot of different things coverage-wise. But I thought everybody had moments. I thought Amos had moments. I thought Lattimore had moments. I thought Will Harris had, you know, multiple moments. I thought that, yeah, that they – it just – the level of competitiveness and urgency defensively was there from the jump. It's going to have to be there on Thursday night with the short turnaround. I thought Wise stood out. I thought Armstrong had a really good game. I really liked Dorrance Armstrong this year. I thought he played really well at the end of last year, including in the playoff games. Who else? Looking through my notes defensively. Overall, Kinlaw, Payne. Wagner had a decent game. Did have the penalty. It seemed like everybody defensively had penalties. I'll tell you a guy that I thought wasn't in there for a lot of snaps necessarily, but number 55, Jacob Martin, I think he can play. Let me see his snap count. I want to see how many snaps he was in. Snap count for Jacob Martin, 28 snaps in the game. So that's a lot of snaps for a guy that, for those of you just tuning in because it's the regular season, not the preseason anymore, I'm sure you're like, who the hell's Jacob Martin? He's number 55. The numbers got a little confusing, especially without Lattimore in 23. Amos wears 23. Lattimore wears 2. Sanders still 0 for those just checking in. I thought everybody defensively, when you hold a team to 3.7 yards per play and 6 points for a game, despite some of the penalties that kept drives alive, you have had a lot of players play well. I'm just looking to see. Did anybody not play well defensively? Noah I got away with a couple of things, including a penalty that was clearly DPI with a face mask, actually. Defensively, really good day overall. Debo Samuel's on the list of things that I like. Not a bad debut for Debo Samuel. 7 catches, 77 yards. Had the run out of the backfield, 19-yard touchdown run. I will mention right now, although this is kind of on my list of other things, I thought that could have easily been called delay of game. It seemed like the clock hit zero, play clock hit zero, and that there was an extra beat. I'll go back and look at it again. It was just something that I wrote down. I thought it was going to get called. He had a drop, you know, over the middle, but it wasn't a perfect throw. Health is everything for Debo Samuel. If he is healthy this year, we know as NFL fans what he is capable of. The Debo Samuel and Javon Kinlaw additions have the potential to make Adam Peters look really good. Just one game. Debo's got to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, best quarterback he's ever played with, a coordinator that's going to use him in creative ways, We're going to see a lot of days where Deebo Samuel did what he did yesterday. Bill Kroski merits on the list of things that I liked. What we saw in the preseason was really good vision, but you saw that at New Mexico. You know, if you went back and looked at a lot of his games, only played once at Arizona, one game at Arizona. He's got quick burst, he's decisive, and he's got speed. He's a good runner. There's no doubt. He's a talented runner. And by the way, they played a good defense yesterday. 10 for 82 in his debut. It included the read option touchdown run where he bounced it outside. It included that big-time 42-yard run from deep in their own territory late in the game. Old Bill, as Kingsbury calls him, was really good in the opener. And let's talk about it. He was up. Rodriguez was down. We talked about last week, early in the week, is it possible that they won't have four running backs active? It's rare to have four running backs active, especially when two of them don't play on special teams, and they didn't. Now, part of that was the concern over Noah Brown. They brought Chris Moore up from the practice squad, had him active, so they had the receiver that we didn't think would be active. It's still possible they'll have four running backs active in games moving forward, but just three yesterday, and the decision was to go with Bill over Rodriguez, and he made them look good for that that decision. Austin Eckler's on the list of things that I liked. Man, he is versatility definition right there in the dictionary is his picture. He can be the lead back, you know, which he started off the game as. And I think, now, maybe not at this age and not with the injury, recent injury history, but I think Eckler can get 15 carries a game if you had to go that route. But how about that catch and that shake and that wiggle in tight spaces on that third and 12 to get that first down before the play before, I think, Deebo's touchdown run. He makes people miss in such a subtle, smooth way. It's a very... comparing anybody to Emmett Smith is very dangerous. This is not comparing Austin Eckler to Emmett Smith. But something about Eckler, despite the two concussions last year, as a running back, he just never seems to take a square shot. You know, it's hard to get a straight up, hard, heavy hit on Eckler. Two concussions are probably an example of me being wrong on that. But I think his subtle movement, his feel for space in between the tackles is exceptional. He had 9 touches on the day, 6 carries, 3 catches for 57 yards. You'll take that from Austin Eckler. On the list of things that I liked early on, Chris Moore's catch, man, on that sideline. What a catch. I mean, his first game makes the catch, toe taps, scrapes on that second foot. Outstanding throw, but an outstanding catch by Chris Moore. I love, personally, everything that's going on in the backfield. It seemed like yesterday, even more than some of the stuff we saw last year, the motions, the doubling back on motions, and then post the ball being snapped, there's so much misdirection in the backfield in this offense. You got counters you think are going one way, but really they're coming back the other way. You got a quarterback that's capable of doing that. And then with the quarterback, because he is a read option presenter and capable of running it, an RPO capable quarterback, Cliff's got a lot of stuff going on in the backfield. It's kind of fun to watch. Also on the list of things that I liked, man, this team's ability to overcome disadvantaged down and distance situations is impressive. In the game yesterday, like we saw it all last year, 2nd and 16, no problem. 2 plays later, first down. Or actually, on that one, I think the next play was a first down. 2nd and 21, not a problem. 2nd and 14, no, we're going to keep the ball. 2nd and 15, and by the way, they didn't need 4th downs to do it in this game. Not 1 4th down attempt in the game yesterday. On some level, that speaks to a first down offense that's problematic. But they just, it's the quarterback more than anything else. And they do a good job on the 2nd and really longs of getting a good 2nd down play of 9, 10, 11, 12 yards to set up a 3rd and somewhat makeable. But these are down in distances, and we talked about this a lot last year, where you are now odds-wise, like basically, you know, at a massive disadvantage. The odds of you punting on second and 21 are very high. Very high. Second and 16, very high. Second and 14, second and 15, very high. Not for this team. Also on the list of things that I liked, they ran the ball well. Quarterback ran it well, but the running backs ran it well. We wanted to see that. Kroski, Merritt, McNichols ran it well. Eckler ran it well. 220 yards rushing, 6.9 yards per. I'll tell you what, with Kroski, Merritt, and we'll see if Rodriguez gets opportunities. I did not think, and I didn't know the reason why, and we talked a lot about this last year. When you have a quarterback that gets presented as a potential runner, designed or option-wise on every single snap, unless he's under center. And even then, you know, you can boot, you know, into a run. Your running back should benefit a lot more than they did last year. And I think Kroski Merritt's going to benefit a lot from Jaden being a runner. The touchdown run was zone read. And he bounced it outside. It's a little bit different than you usually see, because usually the quarterback's the one going to the outside after he takes it out of the running back's gut, reading that DN. But I think that you've got running backs this year, including McNichols, who's always impressive when he's in there. But a good day rushing the football. Last on the list of things that I liked, I'm going to put Jaden Daniels on this list. It was not anywhere near one of his best games. You know, it was far from, you know, the long list of great games, really good games last year. But you, in a game like yesterday against a team that I think will prove out to be pretty good defensively. Now, they're going to struggle defensively if their offense doesn't move the ball at all, because they'll just be on the field too often and for too long. But every offensive snap, Jaden being out there, his team has an advantage because of what a defense needs to do to account for him. They've got to account for him as a runner. They've got to account for him with a spy on almost every play. You have to keep him in the pocket. And even then, it doesn't really matter. There's just so much that a defense has to account for when he's out there, and he makes you pay, and Cliff makes you pay for that. Now, statistically yesterday, 19 of 30, 233 yards, a touchdown, no picks. He got away with one early, a little bit late, and a little bit inaccurate to Debo on that out route. Incomplete, could have been a pick. He had 68 yards on 11 rushes. The rushes were a mix of scrambles, some very good ones. Some quarterback draws, quarterback counters. He had zone read keepers. He's just a phenomenal runner. I thought he took a lot of hits yesterday, some unnecessary hits. I don't love that. I don't love the runs, and these are more, you know, either straight quarterback counter or quarterback sweep. I don't like the plays where there is a chance and a good chance he's going to get tackled in a large heap in the middle of the field. Now, they'll tell you, I guarantee you, that when we run some of those counters, the action is taking the defense away and we've got a big numbers advantage going to that side. And it's probably true. But, you know, zone read keepers, he's out on the edge more times than not. He's got a chance to get out of bounds. He's got a chance to slide. Quarterback draws, you usually have a chance to slide as well. You know, look, he was accuracy-wise, not his best day. He was a little bit off timing-wise, a little bit off with accuracy through behind. But still, there were at least three drops on balls that may not have been perfect, but they should have been caught. And then the plays that he did make. I mean, you know, he missed Terry on the deep ball early, too. You know, kind of like last year's opener against Tampa. And that could be a timing thing with Terry because he wasn't in camp. That was a great route by Terry to create the separation on that corner. And that could have easily been six, and Jaden just missed him, overthrew him. Also, real quickly, I thought at least one of the three sacks was clearly on him. Maybe two. But some of the throws, man. All right, the first touchdown drive, you know, the throw to Moore on the sideline, the slant to Noah Brown. The decisiveness and the quick release is just so impressive. The touchdown to Ertz, my God, that ball is out. It's out quickly. It is, I hate and dare to say, Aaron Rodgers Marino-esque in terms of the release. It's so quick. The ball's out so quick with velocity. He really throws... He throws slants. He throws over the middle. Remember, that was a complaint. I mean, they just didn't have a lot of over-the-middle throws because they didn't have third and sixes a lot at LSU that year. They were just crushing people on first and second down. But anyway, I digress. His release is lightning quick, and he is so decisive, and he sees it so quickly. That touchdown throw to Ertz, loved it. Loved the way they designed it to get Ertz on a linebacker with Jalen Lane and Ertz isolated to that, you know, split to that left side. How about the throw where he extended the play and threw to Debo for, I think, 17 yards? Had that third and 11 throw to Debo on the final drive of the first half. The scramble on third and seven before Kroski Merritt's touchdown run. I mean, you know, just looking through. I had him as a B plus. It was far from his best game, but most of his games last year were A-level games. I'll be interested to see, not that it's the Bible, but I always am interested in the quarterback PFF numbers for Washington. Let's see if anybody's put up any of the numbers, because I thought Jaden was every bit of a B plus, worst case in the game. I'll find it. All right, the list of things that I didn't like and other observations, and then your calls, I promise, at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Window Nation's got a lot going on right now. It's one of their most popular offers of the year. Buy two and get the next two free. Plus, they give you the option of not paying anything and not charging you interest for two full years. If you've got older windows, they're probably inefficient. You can get energy efficient new windows that'll make your home look great from Window Nation. That's my recommendation. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. They are unbelievable when it comes to servicing you, the customer. They've got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They've got a 96% customer satisfaction rating. They've got over 45,000 five-star reviews. They've installed over 2 million windows across the country, and they give you a lifetime warranty on those windows. They were recently ranked highest on Forbes' list of best window installation companies. Window Nation is a company you should give a shot to if you've been thinking about new windows. Call them at 866-90-NATION. Mention my name. They'll come out and give you, in an hour or less, a free, no obligation, no pressure estimate. Buy two, get two free is the offer, and you don't have to pay anything until the year 2027. Hurry, the sale ends soon. Call them, 866-90-NATION, or go to windownation.com.
All right, happy Monday, everybody. It is September 8th. We are just past the week one Sunday of football season. Let's get into it. The Commanders, they beat the Giants 21-6. The biggest story of the game, the revamped defensive line and defense as a whole looked really solid, keeping Russell Wilson in check. First time a Commanders defense has held an opposing team to zero touchdowns since they beat the Cowboys 25-3 in week 7 of 2020. The Mystics, they were drubbed by the Indiana Fever 94-65 yesterday. In the Nats, they beat the Cubs by a score of 6-3. Mason Thompson credited with the win, and Jose Ferrer gets the save after the Nats. They score 5 runs in the top of the ninth inning, including a 3-run home run from Josh Bell. They will take on Miami Marlins tonight. They head down for an away game in Miami. First pitch is at 6:40 tonight. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:10 on the Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. And you can catch Denton's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us, and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Up here in the red area, they knew they were going to move the ball to Giants defense. They got to limit points down here.
Daniels over the middle. Caught! Touchdown, Zach Ertz!
I loved when Doc, during the preseason, referred to Ertz as Jaden's Binky. One of my favorite Doc-isms. Yeah, Ertz is Jaden's Binky. Three catches, 26 yards for Zach Ertz in game one, but had that touchdown on just, I'll tell you, when this dude is, you know, and he rarely doesn't see it, when he sees it at quarterback, that ball is out and it is a laser. And that was a really good throw in between two defenders. Really good design on the play as well. All right, I've gone through the things that I liked, obviously, in the game yesterday. It started with the defense. Now we move to the things that I did not like. This, you know, was not a pretty game. It was incredibly sloppy, and the sloppiness cost points. You know, whether it was the penalties on defense and the changing of field position because of it, even though they didn't give up points to the Giants. You know, yards can be a very hollow or a mistake stat to go to, but sometimes they're not. Washington had 432 yards and 25 first downs in the game. You know, when your defense plays the way it did, even without the takeaways, you should end up with more than 21 points. And they didn't end up with more than 21 points because they were sloppy. You know, we start with the penalties, 12 in total, a lot of them on defense too. A couple of penalties that were just, you know, not wise. Lattimore slamming Robinson to the ground. You know, you had on one play, two players jump off sides. A lot of the player penalties were on defense. It cost them field position yards. It was just sloppy. You know, we saw this in the opener against the Patriots. Somebody pointed out, told you, saw it in the opener. Yeah, the problem with that is the players that committed the penalties in the game against the Patriots a month ago aren't on the team anymore. The players that played in the game yesterday didn't play against the Patriots, but too many penalties. We'll play some of the Dan Quinn sound for you, but this was certainly an area that, you know, was designated as have to clean up for sure. I thought they got away with some missed calls against them. Payne definitely hit Wilson to the head on a ball that Wilson got out of there. Everybody was looking around from the Giants standpoint. I thought Noah I got away with a defensive pass interference and a face mask. There was a hold, a blatant offensive hold missed on Washington, and there were Giant penalties missed as well. But it just, you're not going to win a lot of games against good teams with that many penalties more often than not, especially when you combine those penalties with drop passes, at least three. Ertz on the opening drive, Debo, that ball was high, but I think catchable. Lane dropped one. I think there was another one too, but Jaden wasn't perfect with his accuracy on some of the throws, but they were all catchable. You can't use up all your timeouts with 8 minutes and 10 seconds to go in the game. It didn't hurt them yesterday. A lot of this sloppiness, bottom line, is didn't hurt them with respect to the final score or the outcome. A game that, despite it being 14-6 and the Giants having the ball, did you ever really think that Washington would lose the game? I know there's that fear of they let them hang around too long. Giants stink, but they let them hang around, and now all of a sudden they're going to pay for it. It happens, but when you're watching a game and you can see that the other team just can't make actual forward progress on offense, you're going to need some fluky things to lose that game. But it doesn't change the fact that, penalties, drop passes, and using up all your timeouts. They look disorganized at times, on offense, using those timeouts. When you sub, you can't sub so late as to allow the defense to sub, and the defense will take their time, and now you're into that play clock situation. I mentioned it, but I thought Debo's touchdown run was very close to a delay of game. So that would be, that they're four on the top, four of sloppiness items from the game. The penalties, the drop passes, the timeouts. But a big one was what happened at the end of the first half. I actually, if you were watching the game, Brady felt they made a mistake calling their last timeout with 28 seconds left. I did not. I thought that's where they should have called the timeout. The risk they took was the quarterback draw on 2nd and 10, and the result of that play is what led to rushing the 3rd and 1 and Jaden ending up grounding the ball, which then ran off the last few seconds. Now, first of all, let me just mention this. Everything about Quinn and clock management, end of half, he errs on the side of being very aggressive. I don't mind that at all. Like we saw last year, with this offense, there is a belief. You got no timeouts, 30 seconds to go, but you're starting at your own 11-yard line. We're going for it. We're going for field goal range. I like that mindset. Depending on context, score, et cetera, team, opponent. So they get down there, and they are on a quarterback draw, and I don't know if that's a check. That may have been a check. I would imagine it's a check. You've got two plays called, and based on what Jaden sees, quarterback draw is an option. That QB draw, I guarantee you, they think it's got a chance to score. Worst case, it's going to pick up a first down, and then you can get up and clock the ball and have 17, 18 seconds left to run three plays to the end zone, and if you don't score a touchdown, kick a field goal. I don't hate the call. It's just that the result of it being a 9-yard gain and setting up 3rd and 1 led to the scenario in which they had to hurry. They wanted to get one more snap off for a touchdown opportunity, and Jaden had nowhere to go with it and unloaded it in an area where a receiver wasn't, and they called grounding. Jaden's got to do a better job of getting a ball somewhere near a receiver, even if it's way over the receiver's head and out of the end zone. You can't throw to empty space to avoid, a sack and an end of half. Or he's got to get outside the pocket and throw it away. It was an unfortunate end. I don't hate where they called the timeout at 28 seconds. I don't hate the quarterback draw. I think Jaden's got a chance for big plays on quarterback draws, especially with the field spread. And that one, unfortunately, got 9 yards instead of 10. If it gets 10, you get up, you clock it, and you have, you know, two downs, and then on fourth down, kick a field goal if you don't score on the next two. Didn't happen that way. Also on the list of things that I didn't like, I didn't think it was a great day for the special teams. There were some big hits. Nick Ballore had a massive hit. Man, that dude hits. McNichols hits on special teams. Reeves hits on special teams. Reeves had a big hit defensively. They had a punt blocked in the game. It resulted in a 30-something yard punt, but Abdul Carter got a hand on it. He almost got another one. They're going to have to shore that up. They got nothing on punt returns. Jalen Lane, the excitement, I was told, with this coach, with this front office when Jalen Lane was there in the fourth round because of his punt return ability and wide receiver, but they thought his immediate impact as a rookie would be as a punt returner. One game, 2 punt returns, 0 yards. I'm not saying that he can't do it. Obviously, you're going to give him plenty of chances. There was a good kickoff return by McCaffrey. Tressway had a decent day. I'll tell you, here's something that I think, you know, you can't make these mistakes, and I saw it a lot around the league yesterday. The new rules of the touchback coming out to the 35-yard line should mean 100%. If that ball is kicked into the end zone, I mean, in the air, because if it hits before the goal line and goes into the end zone, then if you don't return it, it comes out to the 20. But if that ball sails into the end zone, you should never bring it out now that the 35-yard line is the starting field position. Never. Think about that. 1 yard deep in the end zone to get it to the 35 is a 36-yard return. It's a really good return. And Deebo Samuel, on the opening kickoff, took it out from a yard deep in the end zone, and they started at their own 21 instead of the 35-yard line. That's 14 yards of field position. It matters. Now, with this offense, it doesn't always seem to matter, but you got to play the right way. And I know he was anxious first game, wanted to prove something back on kickoff returns, but any kick this year that sails into the end zone, and it's hard. If you watched yesterday, Thursday night, Friday night as well, it is hard to have that ball land in the landing zone between the 20 and the goal line consistently. It is. So any kick that sails into the end zone, man, that should be first and 10 at your own 35. There should be a blanket rule. You're not bringing it out. And Deebo brought out the opening kickoff. All right, I promise. Your calls next. I've got a few other observations from the game, and then we'll get to your calls. I see you on hold. Stay there. We do have a line open if you want to jump in at 301-230-0980. What'd you like? What didn't you like? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. You can watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.